Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm Matt Giulio.
I'm Mindong. 1 week until March Madness tips off.
One more week, baby. How about it? How about it indeed? A lot of good stuff going on. Happy Champ Week. We are in full force for this Champ Week. A couple of the high major tournaments are starting this today, actually. So I'm going to get through those. Got a couple of games to cover from yesterday. Got a couple semifinal games, a couple final games today. It's a beautiful day for college basketball, and we already have games tipping off, so love to see it indeed. And so without further ado, let's begin.
Yeah, we had a phenomenal slate of games yesterday. Let's just go over the two finals that happened yesterday. First one that we covered was the Sun Belt Championship, James Madison versus Arkansas State, and to no one's surprise, James Madison did win 91-71 in a dominant performance. They've been very good all season. 31 wins to finish the year off heading into March Madness. And they're projected 12 seed and probably going to be a popular 12-5 upset for a ton of people. What are your thoughts on James Madison heading into the tournament?
Yeah, definitely a popular pick. They're actually an 11 seed projection right now, according to Lenardi. But yeah, they're definitely going to be in the 11-12 range. Definitely going to be a popular pick. They look really good, man. I mean, they beat Arkansas State by 20. Terrence Edwards Jr., the real deal, man. 17 points per game this season. James Madison's sixth appearance, first time since 2013. So it's been a little bit over a decade since they've gone dancing. Happy to see them back, man. I mean, this team's really good this year, and we saw that straight out from the jump this year. I mean, they were ranked earlier in the year for a little bit. Had a couple lulls, like I said, but only three losses. So this team is qualified and bona fide for a very deep run potentially. So definitely not a team to take over lightly if you are a six seed or a five seed in this March Madness tournament. So James Madison, definitely to keep my eyes out for them and see who they draw on Sunday.
Definitely agree with you. I'm excited to see who they draw on Sunday because there are a lot of matchups that will benefit them greatly. Obviously, not the best defensive team, but can definitely score in bunches, and we've seen that all season. And 31 wins is super impressive. That might be the most out of any program heading into March. But yeah, we're just going to have to wait and see what their fate is on Selection Sunday.
For sure. I mean, their resume is not that great. I mean, yeah, they beat Michigan State, who was number four at the time. But looking back on that, that's not a fantastic win. The losses to App State don't help either. I mean, I know App State was a very good team this year, which in hindsight is two good losses. But looking at their wins, I mean, they don't really have that many quality wins. I mean, they beat Kent State, a decent team from MAC.
Fun fact, they have the most quad four wins in the nation.
Yeah, so, I mean, if I'm looking at that, I probably wouldn't pick them to get an upset. But, I mean, you never know. I mean, this team's still very good, don't get me wrong. I mean, 31 wins, like you said, very impressive stuff, but no real good quality wins, in my opinion, besides that win. So I don't know. We'll see who they draw, and I'll go from there. But SoCon was the other conference that had their tournament final yesterday. It was Samford and ETSU. ETSU, the Cinderella team, 7 seed, Samford, the favorite to win this thing, and it did end up being Samford. That did qualify for the SoCon this year. 76-69 over ETSU, 29-5 record. First time since 2000 for the Samford Bulldogs. So shout out to them. First time in 24 years. So congratulations to them. Definitely very exciting stuff in Samford. I believe that's in Alabama, if I'm not mistaken. But Ankor, 15.5. He's the guy to watch out for this Samford team. I believe they're going to be a 13 seed, I believe, maybe a 14 seed.
I was thinking 12, but
Lenardi has him as a 13 right now, but that could definitely be in that 12 line as well. We'll see what the other conferences have in store. But what were your thoughts on Samford going dancing?
Yeah, this in my opinion is going to be not many people are going to pick Samford. People are going to head into this tournament and be like, what's a Samford? This is a hell of a team they got right here. Their offense, we mentioned James Madison. I think Samford's offense is a lot better than James Madison. It's more fun to watch, too. This is an enjoyable offense to watch. Their defense, not so much, but they scored in bunches. I mean, looking at their pass games, they dropped 134 points against VMI. They've dropped 100 multiple times, and this is a fun team. And obviously, as a person that loves the SoCon Conference, you know – depending on who they draw, I'm going to pick the upset. I've picked the SoCon upset every year. I picked Furman. I called that over Virginia last year. I was heartbroken 2 years ago when Chattanooga choked against him. That will still haunt me forever. I thought I had that one. I was the only one in the bracket challenge to pick Chattanooga against Illinois. And, man, they just let it slip away, and that'll be in my nightmares for a long time. But, man, like, I'm happy I picked Furman last year, and hopefully Samford will be the next SoCon team to pull off an upset.
Yeah, for sure. And Samford, like you talked about, points per game. They were eighth in the country at 86 flat points per game. So definitely a team to watch out for. Not a very good rebounding team, though. They were 183rd in the nation in rebounding. So that's definitely something to monitor. Points allowed, 74. Not great, but it's manageable if you're scoring more than the opponent, obviously. So, yeah, definitely a team to monitor. I mean, they don't have – like I said, they played Purdue first game of the year. They got smoked. Played VCU pretty well. Beat a couple good teams like Belmont in the non-con, Louisiana as well. But, yeah, I mean, not too many good wins. I mean, yeah, the Furman wins and the Chattanooga wins are solid. But, yeah, definitely a team to monitor. And like I said, I mean, we'll see who they draw. But another team I'm not too confident in pulling off an upset. But if they're a 12-line – I mean, you know a 12 seed's going to win at least one game, maybe two. So I'll definitely take a look to see where they are going to be seated and go from there.
Definitely agree. And going on to today's games, we got five bids to give out today. We already covered one. We did cover the NEC Championship where we both had Merrimack. No matter what, the NEC does always get a first four game. So we will see whoever the winner of Merrimack and Wagner Day, we will see them in Dayton on Tuesday. So that's that. But the first final up is the CAA Championship Final, and it is the number one seed, Charleston, taking on the number seven seed, if I'm not mistaken.
Stony Brook?
Yeah.
I believe Stony Brook was the 10 seed. I'll look. I think they're seven. They're a low seed. I'll clarify it right now, but...
But yeah, Stony Brook pulls off an upset against Hofstra, and they're in the final. Who do you have in the CAA championship?
Yeah. Hold on. My computer is, like, fanning crazy right now. I'm trying to figure out where Stony Brook was. I want to say they were the seventh seed. Yeah. Yeah, they were the seventh seed. But, yeah, they had a phenomenal win yesterday. I was very impressed that they took down Hofstra. And, yeah, Charleston looking very solid. Per usual, both those games were both impressive. I mean, I'm more impressed with the Stony Brook win than the Charleston win. But, yeah, I think this one's a no-brainer. I'm going to take Charleston to go dancing for the second year in a row. So, yeah, give me Charleston winning this game. Very solid team, and we'll see where they end up drawing. I'm thinking 13-line, 14-line probably, but whoever they get, I mean, this team knows how to fight. And they were a really good team last year. They're not the same team as they were last year in terms of talent, but they're still a very good team and definitely a team to monitor if they do win tonight.
Definitely agree with you. I got Charleston as well. Like you mentioned, the talent is down, but their system is just a very, very player-friendly system. Anyone can play in that system and be successful, and they win games. And Pat Kelsey is a hell of a head coach. He gets paid a lot to coach at Charleston. He's probably not going to leave, even though he has opportunities to leave. He loves Charleston, and I respect that. And Charleston, a powerhouse in this conference for many years to come.
Definitely. Next final up, we go back to the Horizon. The Horizon ended up finishing the way we expected. Oakland did end up winning. Cleveland State fell just short. But, yeah, I mean, it's okay. Shout out to Cleveland State. But, yeah, Oakland gets the win by three. The one seed going to the final. They're taking on Milwaukee. Milwaukee with a huge storm back against Northern Kentucky last night. Northern Kentucky was up a good amount. They're up 7 at halftime, and a 51-point second half for Milwaukee gets the job done for them. B.J. Freeman, he's the guy to look out for, man. He had 27 last night, and Milwaukee cruising in here as the 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 seed, or 5 seed, actually. So we got a 1-5 matchup in the final for the Horizon League. We knew a low seed was going to make it to the final. We just didn't know which one. But your thoughts, do you think Oakland pulls off the sweep, or do you think Milwaukee can go dancing for the first time in I don't even know how long?
Yeah, this is going to be a high scoring game. You know the Horizon League. This is where the excitement and the offense comes in, and especially in the championship of the league tournament. I'm going with Oakland here.
Yeah, I wanted to see Northern Kentucky win, but I think Oakland's a very solid team. I'm looking at their non-con. They played a couple teams very closely. Ohio State, Illinois, Drake beat Xavier. They've had some very quality wins under their belt. So I'm going to also roll with Oakland to go dancing.
And the next tournament final, the West Coast Conference final, none other than two nationally ranked teams, the one seed and the number 21 team in the nation. St. Mary is taking on the two seed and the 17 team in the nation. Gonzaga, the rubber match between these two programs. They split the season series. Both teams won away from home. It is now in a neutral site in Vegas. Who do you have in this one?
Yeah, I mean, that San Fran Gonzaga game. San Fran, they held strong for the first half, and Gonzaga kind of blew it open in that second half. But this should be a fantastic game. I'm really excited to watch this one. You know, I mean, I still want the Gales to win, but I mean, it's hard to beat Gonzaga twice in a season. But it is a neutral site, which does help both sides, I honestly think. So I'll stay with St. Mary's to win this game. I think this will be a thriller. I think it will be a thriller. So I'm very excited to watch this one, but yeah, I'm gonna more towards St. Mary's.
Do you know what my answer is? My answer is going to be St. Mary's. Unfortunately, the new bad news for the Gales: Joshua Jefferson is out for the season with a knee injury.
Yeah.
He is their starting power forward and made a big impact this season, so it's going to be tough for them to make a run without him. But the system is again player friendly as long as you know it. I mean, they're one of the slowest teams in the nation, but they're one of the better defensive teams in the nation. And Randy Bennett just knows how to coach his butt off. And I think St. Mary's will win this. They won the regular season title. And I think they win the West Coast Conference tournament title.
Definitely agree. Next final up, where'd it go? I just had it. There it is. It is the Summit League. Summit League looking very interesting for sure. The Jackrabbits got the job done as the one seed. That was going to be a little bit closer than I expected. They only won by 10. 59-49, by the way. A very low-scoring affair in that semifinal against St. Thomas. And we got Denver. Denver taking down Omaha. Omaha and Denver, that was a very good game. 63. I believe Omaha was up at halftime, and Denver gets the win here. Of course, Mr. Tommy Bruner leading Denver and scoring once again. That guy is a machine. From the line. It should be an interesting game. Jackrabbit's a heavy favorite in this one. Who do you have?
I got the Jackrabbits by a lot. I mean, yeah, the Jackrabbits have been so good in Summit League play for a long time now, and I expect that to continue.
Agreed. I'm also going to go with the Jackrabbits. This game is also in South Dakota, so Jackrabbits have a little bit of a home court advantage here. Yeah, I see the Jackrabbits winning, and whoever wins this game, regardless, will be a 16 seed, so I mean, you never know what happens with 16s, but yeah, Jackrabbits can maybe pull off some magic.
Yep, and we now move on to the semifinals and our predictions for the semifinals and conference finals. We'll start off with a game that I will be attending in about, I've got to leave in like 2.5 hours, but the American East semifinals, we got the top four seeds in the semifinals, the one seed Vermont hosting the 4 seed New Hampshire and the 2 seed UMass Lowell hosting the 3 seed in my school, the Bryant Bulldogs. Who do you have in the America East semifinals and taking the tournament home?
Whoa, my screen just went fuzzy. That was weird. Yeah, this should be interesting for the America East. Obviously, the expected favorites, I believe, for all sides. I mean, New Hampshire, definitely the outlier, I'd say, in this one. But, I mean, the top 4 seeds did end up finishing in the semifinals. But yeah, I mean, I do expect Vermont to steamroll you in New Hampshire. I do expect that for sure. And that Bryant game should be a very interesting one. UMass Lowell is not a team to pass over easily, but neither is Bryant, in my opinion. So I think Vermont cruises to the final in this one. And then that other game, man, I really do think it's a toss-up. I mean, I know UMass Lowell is favored by 6.5. I think that's a little too high, in my opinion. I think this will be a very, very close game. But with that being said, I'm still going to take UMass Lowell to win this game, unfortunately for you. I'm sorry. I just think UMass Lowell's at home, and I think the home court advantage will be a little too strong because I believe UMass Lowell is, let's see their home record, 11-3. So we'll see. But Bryan is on a three-game win streak, so we will see. But regardless, whoever wins that Bryan-UMass Lowell game, I still think Vermont wins this thing. I know they got a couple guys out in this game, but I still think Vermont's going to smooth sail from the America East once again into the big dance.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, even tending Bryant. I think Vermont, regardless of their opponent in the final, is going to be a smooth sail for them. I think they get in the bid. And they've just been dominant in the America East for the past decade, and it doesn't seem like it's going to stop for anytime soon. It doesn't seem like it's going to stop as long as Coach Beaker is there.
Definitely agree. Next conference up, semifinals for the Southland Conference. Yes, the Southland only has 8 teams or so, but hey, we're here with the Southland. The number 1 seed, McNeese, takes on the number 4 seed, Lamar. And the number 2 seed, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, takes on the number 3 seed, Nichols. Nichols and Lamar both had pretty convincing wins in that quarterfinal game, I'll call it, taking down the 8 seed, New Orleans, and the 7th seed, Texas A&M Commerce, who both upset the 5 seed Southeastern and the 6 seed Northwestern State. But we got a 1-2-3-4 matchup in the semifinal. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the 1-4 matchup, I'm going with McNeese here. They've been dominant this whole year, and they've even looked good against high major competition, and that's what happens when you have Will Wade. Will Wade is a hell of a recruiter, and just look at the team he has. He's got a lot of high major guys playing at McNeese State, so that just shows his body of work. And as for the 2-3 matchup, I'm going with Nichols here. That leaves a final with McNeese and Nichols. And I am going with the upset. I'm taking Nichols to win the Southland tournament, and I'm picking McNeese State to be in the NIT.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pick against McNeese, man. I mean, it really is, but I don't hate that at all. But unfortunately for me, I really don't see McNeese losing this thing. I mean, I think they got a real solid program. They finished in conference play? They finished 17-1. They only have one loss in conference play, 28-3 on the year. I mean, this team beat VCU. This team beat Texas State, UAB, Michigan. I mean, yeah, sure, they still beat Michigan. But, you know, they're not expected to win these games against high major programs. And they have had a very good resume thus far. Their only loss this year was to Southeast Louisiana by just 3 points on the road. And they haven't really showed any signs of slowing down. Yeah, they had a couple close scares in here and there. But I do think McNeese wins this whole thing. And who they're going to play in the final, got to roll with the Corpus Christi boys, of course. I mean, shout out to Steve Lutz himself, man. I know he's not there no more, but got to still root for the Corpus Christi boys. I think they will match up with 1-2. I do think McNeese still wins this thing, though. Will Wade's just been phenomenal. High major job coming this offseason. You bet.
Definitely agree with you. What conference were we in? I just blanked out for a sec.
We're in the Southland. Now we're going to go to...
Yep. My fault. Yeah, next up is the Big Sky. And we got the very last seed in the tournament, the 10 seed, Sacramento State. They had a play-in game for the right to face the 1 seed, Eastern Washington. And then they proceeded to defeat Eastern Washington. And... now they're in a semifinal matchup against the 5 seed Montana State. That's the first matchup. And the second matchup is the 2 seed Montana taking on the 7 seed.
Montana's a 3 seed.
Are they?
Mm-hmm. Northern Colorado was the 2 seed.
Okay. They lost. Yeah, and they're taking on, I don't even know what seed they are. 7? 8?
8.
Eight. Yeah, so we got a 10 seed and an 8 seed in the semifinals. What are your thoughts on the Big Sky tournament?
Yeah, how about it? I mean, it's really all momentum at this point for the 10 seed Sac State and the 8 seed Idaho State. I mean, it's very impressive stuff. Unfortunately for one of those teams, I believe their season will come to an end, and that team will be... I want to pick Sacramento State, but I don't think they got it in the bag. I'll take Montana State to advance to the final. And I'm going to take the upset in the other one. I'm going to take Idaho State to advance to the final. Then that leads you to a 5-8 matchup. I'm going to go Montana State going back to back. I think this team, I know they've lost a lot of guys, and even the coach, Danny Sprinkle. But all right, ESPN ads. Thank you. But I do believe that Montana State is still a very solid team. Robert Ford III is their leading scorer. He looks very good thus far, dropped 27 in that win over Weber State. Weber State, very disappointing. I mean, I thought that was our pick going through this. I know you sent me the upset with Eastern Washington, and you're like, it's Weber State's time, but no, they did lose. So I'm going to go with Montana this whole thing and going back dancing for the second year in a row.
I'm gonna go with Sacramento State in the final and Montana in the final. And I think Montana is going to win. They've been a pretty solid top half program for a long time now. They've made the tournament a few times as well, and I think they're gonna make the tournament again this year. Montana is just a very solid team, and they got a lot of good guys. One of them, a tournament legend, even though he didn't really play much, but DeSean Thomas, former Colorado State. You remember him hitting threes against Michigan?
I remember.
Like, they just sagged off him. He was just banging threes like it was nothing. I'm like, who is this guy? Like, this guy's their fifth starter, like their fifth option. He's just hitting threes. And look, he's thriving in Montana now.
Yeah, he is thriving indeed. Yeah, I like him a lot. I hope he does well. If Montana wins, they're the only team above 500 from the Big Sky left to make it. So if Montana does not win, you will see a team below 500 from this conference make it to March, which is kind of bizarre. But, I mean, it happens sometimes. So you got to roll with what you got. Now we got a couple first rounds tipping off tonight, a couple high majors, a couple mid majors. We'll start with the Conference USA. Conference USA looking very interesting, per se. You'd expect Liberty to be the one seed. No, Liberty is actually the fourth seed. The one seed, the new team in the conference, Sam Houston State. How about them, man? Looking really good this year. They ended up being the one seed. The two seed, Louisiana Tech, a team that has been here before. Shout out Kenny Lofton Jr. I miss you a lot. But Louisiana Tech doing some good things here still in the Conference USA. The three seed, a fellow podcaster of ours. It's Western Kentucky. Shout out Steve Lutz. Really good stuff this year for the Hilltoppers. Expecting good things. A little reminder to you, I still need my Western Kentucky shirt. Hello.
Right here, bro. Right here.
Shout out to the Hilltoppers. Yep, pull it out. Yeah.
There's two of them.
Yeah, I know. Shout out to them. Shout out to Steve Lutz. Thank you for giving us the shirts, by the way. Four seed Liberty. Oh, you're going to show the other one? Yeah, I like that one better, but we'll have to fight on that
one.
Whoever does better gets to pick what shirt they get. How about that?
Yeah, but don't you want the spot?
I know. Mr. Bees, man.
This is where the NIL money comes from.
Shout out Mr. Bees. I want to try that place out one time. But anyways, four seed Liberty, who probably was the favorite coming into this year. Five seed UTEP. Six seed New Mexico State, seven seed Middle Tennessee State, eight seed Jacksonville State, and the ninth seed FIU. Your thoughts on the Conference USA shakeup?
Yeah, it's a very good conference. I'm going with Western Kentucky to win this whole thing.
Got it, right?
Just looking at like the way they play teams close every game, and like their losses are always single digit losses. Like if you look at like every single conference loss, it's all in the single digits. They don't pull away from teams, but yet teams don't pull away from them. And I think yes, it's super low risk and super low reward. But I think they're gonna figure it out in this time. And I think West Kentucky is gonna win. Definitely a little biased because I love Coach Lutz, but at the same time, I mean, year one, he's done a phenomenal job. Shout out to you, Coach Lutz. I can't wait to see you lead this team.
Definitely agree. And they actually don't play till Thursday. So they got a couple of days of rest and training. So, the first round game tip off today. There's only one game, actually. But anyways, I mean, it's really hard. West Kentucky is obviously my pick as well. But it's hard to not acknowledge that Sam Houston and Louisiana Tech were both a couple games above everyone else. They've kind of solidified themselves as a clear 1-2 within this conference. So I do believe Sam Houston will. Liberty could definitely pull off a scare if they do win their game. But I do believe Sam Houston will match up against Western Kentucky in this final. But yeah, I mean, I gotta roll with the Hilltoppers, man. I mean, I know that is biased from both of us, but dude, I definitely think Sam Houston's a legit team. Liberty's still very solid. Louisiana Tech's solid. I think this top four will probably meet up in the semifinals. So I do believe it'll be a 1-3 matchup. I'm gonna also take the Hilltoppers to go dancing.
Yeah, and Coach Lutz, you're watching this, you're kind of a meme in my friend group back at school. I mean, they watched the podcast. Oh, they love the, like I said, your episode was probably the most watched episode. But there was one time I asked a question, and you're like, "Gee, man, that's a loaded question." And every time I ask a question now, they will play that same clip, and I'm not even lying to you either. Let me put the volume up on this thing.
It's, oh shoot, man, that's a loaded question.
that's just a little funny thing that they just always play. Every time I ask a question, that they're like they send that, and I just know it's coming. It's just, oh gee, man, it's a loaded question. I'm like, yeah, like just answer the freaking question.
That's great. That's great indeed.
I don't have any standings up. You could keep it too. We had a little miscommunication. I thought we were gonna do some coaching changes, but you
nah. Went, this yeah. conference is champ week, baby. That week till after.
Yeah, but there's a lot of firings and big time.
Yeah, we'll cover that. We'll cover that when the tip offs start. We'll cover that when all the tournaments begin. How about that?
No, why would we cover that when the tournaments begin, when we have to? We're covering the tournaments while they're beginning. You just made no sense there. But
that makes sense. That makes sense.
Keep going.
All right. MAAC's up next. This conference looked very interesting this year. The one seed, Quinnipiac, back up towards the top in this conference. Shout out to them. They were the one seed. The two seed, Fairfield. Shout out to our boy Tommy Singleton. Tommy Singleton's team, the two seed, having a chance to go dancing. Shout out to Tommy. Three seed, Marist. Four seed, Ryder. Five seed, St. Peter's. Always looking sneaky. The sixth seed was Niagara. Seven seed, Iona, which is very surprising. I know Patino and all of them left, but seeing Iona at seven is very an eyesore, per se. Eight seed, Mount St. Mary's. Nine seed, Kinesis. 10 seed, Manhattan. And the 11th seed was Siena. Another big surprise. Your thoughts on this MAAC?
Yeah, pretty solid. Conference, obviously, you got a very competitive 1 through 10, and then or 1 through 9, and then Manhattan and Siena at the rock bottom. I'm picking, yeah, give me Fairfield. I mean, it's a feel good story, obviously. Jay Young obviously fired before the season. Chris Casey came in as the interim head coach, and as of this morning, he was named the permanent head coach. They removed the interim tag off him, so congratulations to him. And they've just looked good this whole year, especially with Alexis Yetna back. I mean, he's been at South Florida, he's been at Seton Hall, and he's now at Fairfield, obviously unhealthy until the midseason point. But he's looked good, and when he's fully healthy, I mean, they said he's at 90%. When he's at 100%. They're going to be a very dangerous team because he is a difference maker, especially in the MAAC.
100% agree with you. Yeah, this will be an interesting shakeup within this MAAC. I have a weird feeling St. Peter's has some fire in them. I have a weird feeling. So I'm going to pick them to go very far, probably to the semis. To probably take on the 1-seed Quinnipiac. I mean, Quinnipiac is a force to be reckoned with this year. They have done some phenomenal stuff. So I think Quinnipiac will probably make it to the finals. I mean, I'm going to be bland. I think it'll probably be a 1-2 matchup. I mean, Quinnipiac and Fairfield both stood out tremendously against the field. I mean, Marist and St. Peter's and Ryder were all 12-8. Fairfield and Quinnipiac, both a couple games up above all of them. As much as I love to pick my boy T. Shooter and his Fairfield Stags, I think it's Quinnipiac's here. I'm going to go with the Quinnipiac Bobcats to win this thing. They got a lot of great guys. Matt Belanc. This guy's a real deal, 18.5 points per game. And no Kevin Marfo, no him. He's not here no more. So they got to go with some other big guys. They got a couple studs. And shout out to Alexis Reyes, former ECU commit, fellow Boston guy. We were watching a lot about him, and he's doing pretty well this year in his new home at Quinnipiac. So I'm going to go with them to win this thing and go dancing for the first time since I do not know when.
For sure. And shout out T-Shooter. The fastest I've ever seen you respawn. I mean,
yeah.
The fastest ever. He took, I kind of want to see how long he took to respawn yesterday to your absurd comment. But
all right. Sorry. I mean, I knew Sydney was in Australia, but
he responded in 8 minutes. And
that's a record
that,
time.
That never happens. Normally, T-Shooter, I mean, you know this well. We're not, you normally take at least 2 days to respond, but 8 minutes, that's a record, man.
Great. Next conference up, the A-10. And spoiler alert, the A-10 is already in an overtime game. This game started at 11:30 between Davidson and Fordham, who are the 12 and 13 seeds. It's already in overtime. So you know the A-10 is going to be some madness. So very excited for that. The one seed, Richmond Spiders. Chris Mooney, one coach of the year for this conference, well deserved. Richmond, probably not the team you expect.
Shout out Jordan King as well. He won co-player of the year with Deron Holmes. I thought Deron Holmes really had it easily. And Jordan King has just been phenomenal. And what are the two schools that he played for before Richmond? Let's quiz you on that.
Jordan King?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Give me a conference.
I'll give you his first 2 years.
All right.
The MAAC.
Jordan King. Is this team still in the conference?
Yeah.
I was going to say Monmouth, but let's go with Iona's too easy. It's not Iona. I'm going to go with Siena.
You're correct. He was part of that squad, that loaded squad with Jalen Pickett. And those teams just, you know, underachieved. And his second team is in the SoCon.
SoCon, eh? Jordan King. Jordan King. I'm trying to think of where he played. Not Chattanooga. Furman, I don't think so. Sanford? Maybe. UNC Greensboro.
Nope, it is ETSU.
Ah, that was my second guess. Man. Okay. Oh, well. But, yeah, I mean, this dude's a stud. 18.5 points per game. Huge congratulations to him. Very impressive stuff. Two seed. Another team unexpected. Loyola Chicago, man. Shout out to Drew Valentine and company. This is a very impressive year for Loyola Chicago. 15-3, a tie for the top seed, but Richmond got the head-to-head. But Loyola Chicago on a little three-game win streak. I believe they took down Dayton as well recently, and I would be correct. So shout out to Loyola Chicago as a two seed. Three seed is Dayton, probably a heavy favorite. Even though they are three seed, I think they'll still be a team that a lot of people pick to win this A-10. The four seed, how about UMass? UMass, the four seed. Shout out to Josh Cohen, a phenomenal guy. Came on our pod recently. Really good guy. He also made the first team for the A-10. So congratulations to him. Happy he's in UMass. We love Massachusetts. We're both from there, obviously. But, huge congratulations to Josh Cohen and company. And Frank Martin and the boys have a double bye. So we'll see what they do with that. The five seed was VCU. Very good year for them, despite all the injuries, coaching changes, yada, yada, yada. Shout out to VCU. Six seed is Duquesne. We expect Duquesne to be a lot higher, but, they're sitting there at number six. Still a very dangerous team as a six seed. Day-Day Grant, a guy to watch out for. He can light it up from anywhere. Seventh seed was St. Bonnie's. St. Bonnie's, I mean, it's a down year for the Bonnies, I'd say. I mean, you always expect this team to be in the top four, top five. Moving down to seven is very surprising for the Bonnies, but still definitely poised to have a interesting dark horse run. Eight seed George Mason, pretty good team. The nine seed, St. Joe's. St. Joe's, finally not in the first round. So shout out to St. Joe's getting a day off, per se. The 10th seed was LaSalle, another team that's moving up in the ranks. 11th seed, URI. Shout out to John McEwen, his last dance. We'll see what they can do tonight against the 14th seed, St. Louis. The 12th seed, Fordham, and the 13th seed, Davidson, battling that right now in OT. Fordham actually up 7 now in the OT period, which is very impressive. And the 14th seed was St. Louis, like I said, down year for the Billikens. Unfortunate stuff. And the 15th seed is George Washington. Your thoughts on this A-10 shakedown?
Yeah, I smell bid thief. I sniff a bid thief, and I'm going with VCU as that bid thief. I mean, they're finally healthy. I mean, it's been a long season for them with all the eligibility stuff, the waiver stuff, and injuries, but they finally are fully healthy. And I think VCU is, outside of Dayton, is probably the most talented team on paper when they have their full squad, and they finally do. And I think they steal a bid.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. I really do expect a bit of beef in here. Dayton and Richmond, probably the only teams to make it to the dance right now. Richmond might be a stretch as well, but
not even Richmond. I think they're in the tournament by way of the auto bid because they won the regular season. But if they, it's either win or bust for them, win or NIT for them. They're definitely going to be in the NIT. I know that.
Yeah, so they need a little bit of wins under their belt. So we'll see what happens with that. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard to pick against Dayton, but I'm going to. I know the A-10's been an interesting year, but on paper, there's a couple teams in here that are pretty good. I mean, Loyola Chicago, definitely a team I'm looking out for. UMass, I mean, they got a chance. I mean, they're still looking – they're on the rise, that's for sure. So, shout-out to UMass. I'm hoping they can do some good stuff in this tournament. Even at Duquesne down there at the sixth seed. I think Duquesne can make some noise. But I'm going to take Loyola Chicago to win this thing and go dancing. Sister Jean and company, they got some magic. So I'm just going to pick Loyola Chicago.
Yeah, and due to the time constraints, we will cover the ACC and the Big 12 tournament tomorrow.
Big one tomorrow. We got a lot of high majors.
Big tournament start tomorrow. The ACC and the Big 12 tournament start today. But not really games that – we should really mention anyways. But
UCF is up a lot, so we'll see them in the next round.
Yeah, we will. Oklahoma State is not that good anyway, so nothing to worry about. But any more news that we have to catch?
Would you like to do coaching changes? A couple?
We'll do a singular coaching change. Probably the most important one. It is Mike Hopkins. Has parted, and Washington have mutually parted ways. Really rough time for Mike Hopkins. I mean, he only made one tournament, went 1-1 in that tournament, and has not made the tournament since then. So it's been rough for him, especially this year where he had a loaded squad, a lot of NIL money, and they still only finished tied for sixth, and finishes his time at Washington 108 wins, 105 losses, and in conference play, even worse, 60 wins, 72 losses. And what are your thoughts on this hiring, or this firing, my fault?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Washington just hasn't gone over the hump in a while, and they had a pretty good team this year. So, yeah, it's not surprising at all. I knew it was coming relatively soon. Who they go after, though, I'm not sure. I mean, Washington's a pretty good spot.
Danny Sprinkle.
I could see it, yeah. But yeah, I mean,
Kyle Smith should join the rivals.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with that. I could see that going a couple different ways. But yeah, I mean, Washington in recent success, or the last decade or so, I mean, this team overall has been a solid program. I mean, you look at a lot of good guys that have come out of Washington. I mean, Markel Fultz, Matisse Thybulle, they've had a couple good studs come out of Washington, and they've had some good success, but we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, we'll cover some more coaching changes tomorrow if we do have time. But yeah, this 40 minutes flies by as always. But a lot of good stuff happening today. So if you have nothing to do like I do, tune into some games, get some knowledge under your bracket. And does it really help? No. But you want to watch college basketball? Watch today. So with that being said, you got any closing thoughts?
Nope.
And the Vol shirt will have to wait for tomorrow. But, that is all we got. Once again, Bracket Challenge is open. Make sure to join that. Reach us on @the_RTM_podcast. Make sure to watch the episodes.
I do. Discount is still in place. We have less than, 30 seconds left, so you should end it.
Discount in place. Make sure to check it out. But that is all we got for today's episode.